This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The Dr. Courtney Show is brought to you by Novavax Vaccines. Essential protection for essential bonds.
Hi, welcome to Dr. Courtney Show. I'm Dr. Courtney Campbell, veterinarian and host of Pet Talk on Nat Geo Wild. I just want to send a big thank you to all of you who are regular listeners and for those of you who are actually tuning in for the very first time. I mean, this is a podcast where we get to laugh, love, and learn all about pets. So I'm pumped. We've got a big one today. We've got an exciting guest who's essentially a guru when it comes to the pet boarding industry. And we're also covering some recent news as well. I want to dive right in. But before we do that, I want to be sure to let everyone out there know how they can get in contact with me. If you have any questions, thoughts, or topic discussions, you can reach me at Dr. Courtney DVM on Twitter or Instagram. Questions with positivity and love will always get answered with priority, but not exclusivity. So we will answer everything. So now that that's out of the way, without any further delay, let's get right into it. As you can imagine, I am so animated this morning because we've got a big guest. If you're one of the millions of pet parents out there who look at your pet as your little baby girl, little baby boy, then you know the feeling you get when you leave him at home or her at home. You know, your stomach twists in knots a little bit. You get a little bit concerned. And we all have to do it because the majority of us work outside the house. So we're either leaving our pet at home or we're leaving our pet with someone that we hopefully love and trust so that they can be socialized. So essentially, every workday can be nerve-wracking and it can kind of make you never want to leave your pet alone. It's a big decision. And if you can relate, it's because, you know, it's for good reason. Like over $5 billion is spent on the pet boarding industry every year. And listen, some daycare centers have excellent personnel who are CPR certified, and there are others who are understaffed, you know, and they can't watch your baby like you need them to. So today we hope to answer the question, how do you know if you're picking the right daycare, the correct daycare? And today I've got a real powerhouse in the pet boarding and daycare industry, and she's going to join us right after these messages.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Pets for Patriots improves the lives of veterans and military families through companion pet adoption. We help veterans adopt a new pet friend while giving the most overlooked, undervalued shelter animals hope in a home. We are a nationally operating 501c3 nonprofit organization. To veterans, Pets for Patriots gives the unconditional love of a rescued pet. Our program helps veterans coping with PTSD, depression, and other invisible wounds, men and women transitioning from military to civilian life, those who are separating from loved ones through deployment, and veterans living with loneliness. We're proud to serve veterans from World War II to those currently in service from all branches of the armed forces. The animals safe through our work are those who face the greatest risk of death or long-term homelessness, adults and special needs dogs and cats, and large breed dogs. Our program gives these wonderful creatures a second chance at life. To learn more and get involved, please visit us at petsforpatriots.org.
All right, we're back, and today we are going to answer the question, the burning question in everybody's mind. How do I know whether or not I'm picking the right pet daycare? Well, we've got an excellent person. For 7 years, she's been the founder and CEO of the International Boarding and Pet Services Association, and she's an all-around lover, Carmen Rustenbach. Welcome, Carmen.
Thank you, Dr. Courtney. It's a pleasure to be here and speak with your listeners today.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're so curious. Could you set the scene for us of Carmen Rustenbach, pet lover, how you got into the pet boarding industry, but first back up and just talk to us about how you developed just a love for pets in general.
Well, actually, it was a long time in development. I was actually scared of dogs as a child.
Aww.
And would make my way to work as far away from a dog or a cat as I could. I'm not really sure what caused that fear. So in my teenage years, my dad brought home a little puppy Labrador, and that started my love of dogs. And as I grew to get emotionally attached to that dog, his name is Rowdy. And so Rowdy and I sort of worked out our relationship, and he set the stage for later pets that would come into my life. So I married a military man. We traveled the world. So it was sort of difficult to have a pet when you're packing up and moving every 3 years and you don't know whether you're going to be in the States or you're going to go overseas. So I just sort of adopted pets from other people. I just sort of played with their dogs and cats and had fun with that. Then finally we came back stateside to Illinois, and I'd always wanted a chocolate lab. Well, a farmer and his wife went away to celebrate their 25th anniversary. When they came back, their female was pregnant with Chocolate Lab's Chesapeake Bay Retriever. So I went and picked the quietest one.
You just couldn't resist.
Couldn't resist him. Got him at 6 weeks. And that love for that dog. And he traveled with me everywhere. Everywhere I went, he traveled. And so that just really solidified my love for the pet world. And so that's how I sort of came along to the dog world, if we could say that at least. And then we retired from the military and we settled in Colorado. And when I got there, I met the founder for American Boarding and Kennel Association. And he had developed all the education program for the industry and had been doing it for 40 years.
Wow.
So that's how I end up where I am today.
That's incredible. Listen, there's something to be said about that kind of therapy. I don't know the name of it, where if you have a fear, you just jump right into it. You said you had a little bit of a fear for dogs and just jumped right into it. That's incredible. Listen, there's people out there who are just as scared, you know, as scared about leaving their pet alone. And I wouldn't recommend that they just jump right into it. They probably should do their research first. Are there any keys to selecting a good boarding facility?
There are. And we have a full list on our website, ibpsa.com. But I'm going to touch on just a few highlights for
I'm today. So sorry, Carmen, before you do that, you just mentioned IBPSA. That's such an excellent point you just brought up. I don't want to interrupt you. Just for all of our listeners out there, could you talk a little bit about just founding the IBPSA, what that means, and then we'll blend that right into boarding, because I think that's really important to emphasize.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I came into the industry, like I said, I met a founder of American Boarding Kennel Association, and that association, unfortunately, was not able to handle the economic downturn that came 10 years ago. And so they had to file bankruptcy. So I saw a need in the industry for education for pet care service providers. Excellent. And education for their small businesses. And so I founded International Boarding and Pet Services Association, and I expanded it from just boarding facilities to any non-veterinarian pet care service provider. So dog walkers, pet sitters, groomers, even those who do massage therapy with pets, and of course, right, boarding facilities. So we started providing education curriculum for them on how to deal with pets in a pet sitting environment. And we cover 5 different species. We do canine, feline, avian. We have ferret, rabbit, and hamster. So we try to be as well-rounded as we can on understanding those species, their personalities, and the best care in a boarding or a pet sitting environment for them. So that's how I sort of developed International Boarding. It's been a lovely challenge. And the industry that I work in, they're a very caring group of people, and they want to provide the best care for pets. And so I get to sort of help them do that. And so it's a joy for me to do so.
It's incredible. Some of the services and industries that IBPSA helps and educates also blend into some of the options that people have in terms of having their pet supervised. And if you're uncomfortable about having your pet at a daycare center or a boarding facility, are there some options that if somebody expresses that concern to you, are there options that you discuss with them?
Yes, there are. So I am all for whatever is best for the care of the pet. So let's say you have a pet that's older, maybe 7, 8, or 9 years old, and they don't do so well in a boarding or a doggy daycare environment, but they do well at home on their own. And you just need somebody who can come in throughout the day, check on them, maybe take them for a walk, or maybe even spend the night. Pet sitting is a great option for that kind of a pet. Maybe you also have a pet that's a little aggressive around other dogs, and so there's a little stress that's involved with that. Pet sitting is a great option for care of that pet. They get personalized attention, one handler with one pet. So, and of course, you can use a pet sitter for any species of pet that you have. So that I think it's a great option if your pet's not really well socialized or has fear issues of its own. Keep that stress level down. Bring in a pet sitter.
That makes total sense. That makes total sense. I mean, listen, a lot of people are asking friends and family, but just like everything else in this sharing economy, that also has a centralized way of contacting pet sitters out there. So if you don't have a friend or a family member, obviously a simple Google search will turn up, you know, a centralized location where you can find some really good and reliable pet sitters.
Yes. Yes. And the thing that we stress at IBPSA is that there's a certification program for every type of pet service out there. So if you're going to hire a pet sitter, find out where their certification program is from. You know, there's a Pet Sitters International, PSI for short. They have a directory where you can find certified pet sitters. They're trained. They also have bonding insurance. Most of them had CPR, pet CPR, and first aid. So these are the kinds of questions you want to ask when you bring a pet sitter into your home.
Absolutely fascinating information. I, you know, listen, there's so many listeners out there, including myself just right now, who our minds are absolutely blown right now just from the fact of not that there's certification for everything. We know that part. That's wonderful. But just the fact that there is a Pet Sitter International, Pet Sitter International certification, that's so beautiful because although it doesn't guarantee that everything's going to be great, it does give you that peace of mind. So thank you so much for letting everybody know that that's out there. That's a resource that's out there.
Yep, absolutely. And then on the boarding side, let's say you want to find a boarding facility for your pet. Again, no matter what the species is, there's usually a boarding facility out there to take care of your pet. The first thing I always tell the pet parent is call the facility and schedule an appointment for just you as the pet parent to go to the facility. Don't bring the pet with you. This is a human-to-human interview. You want to go to the facility. You want to meet the people. You want to walk the facility. You want to get a feel for the place. Does it smell good? Does it look good? Are the people friendly? As you walk through the facility, are the pets in their care? Do they seem happy and relaxed, or do you see a lot of stressed animals? So that's the first thing you want to do when you're selecting a boarding facility. And then schedule another appointment where you bring your pet in, especially if you're going to use a doggy daycare situation during the day for your pet. You're going to let them socialize with other dogs. There's going to be very specific questions you're going to ask. Have they had specific doggy daycare training? And while the dogs are playing together, are there two people in the enclosure with the dogs? And then how do they separate the dogs? Do they separate them by size? Do they separate them by personality or how heavy they play? You know, some dogs are big body slammers. And so you have to be sort of careful when you mix the dogs together that you've got correct personality traits and sizes together. So you're going to ask all those questions and you're going to want to see that in action. And then on the other side, the facility is going to want to see how your dog is going to interact. So they're going to do a little interview of their own. Also, you're going to, when you do this second interview with your pet, you're going to want to watch your pet and make sure that your pet is enjoying this, that they're not showing signs of stress, that they don't want to be there, they're cowering. Make sure that the pet has a good feel for that you like your pet's responses that seem to be going along. This is great. This is going to be fun. I'm glad to be here, Mom. Let me out of here. So let me go play. So that's what you're sort of looking for. So you're doing the interview with the facility with your pet. You're watching your pet. You're watching the interaction with your pet and the caregiver. And then usually they finish their little interview of your pet. They do a little test run in the daycare. And then they usually set you up now for when you want to board. The other thing you want to do that I sort of missed on your first interview is you want to talk to them about the contract. What is the contract for me to bring my pet here? Do you have emergency plans? If something goes wrong in the facility, what do those look like? If something happens to my pet in your care, what is your procedures to notify me or to get my pet to a veterinarian? And then what are the requirements for shots and other things like infectious diseases? Now, Dr. Courtney, you and I know that infectious diseases is a very challenging thing because some people don't like to give their pet shots. There's this negativity about giving your pet shots. But I have to say, when you come home with what's traditionally called canine cough, most people would notice kennel cough or the new canine influenza. The canine influenza is very detrimental to pets and it's very difficult to deal with. So I'm very much for making sure that you have proper immunizations for your pet and making sure that the facility knows what they're doing, how they're cleaning, how often do they clean. If your pet is in an enclosure by itself and defecates, how often do they clean? Do they get that right away when they're walking by? Are they checking for water? Are they checking that the pet is okay? So you're asking those questions as you're doing those interviews.
I know that I hope that people get a chance to just, I'll be honest, just hit rewind so that they can listen to all of this knowledge that you dropped. I mean, listen, seriously, it's so excellent just to hear you go through stepwise and an algorithmic approach, just thinking about everything, crossing all of your T's, dotting your I's, starting out with scheduling an appointment without your pet. I love that idea because there's no obligation, right? So if you show up with your pet and let's say you need to catch that flight in a couple hours, there's a little bit of an obligation. You're like, this is the final stop. I love that idea of coming back as a second appointment and then with your pet and looking for a two-person requirement. And the people listening right now, two-person requirement in terms of being around, you know, your dogs at all times. Of course, looking at your dog, and that's what I think is really, really important about this situation. We're always looking at how should we interview the kennel or boarding facility, but we also have to look at our dog, our pet. Are they stressed? And then, of course, infectious disease. I'm a big proponent of obviously protecting infectious disease because it's about everybody's health, right? It's not just about their pet. It's about everybody's health.
Yes, that's correct. And Dr. Courtney, I'm paying attention to your dog. You know, we always say that the pet never lies. They don't know how to lie. So if they're stressed or they're unhappy, they're going to let you know that they're under stress and they're unhappy. And really, no matter how great a facility is, if your pet response is not positive, it can be the best facility in the world. It's just not the right facility for your pet. And it's okay to say, this isn't going to work for us.
The pet never lies. I'm going to use that for the rest of the week here. I'm going to steal that quote. There's some people listening right now saying, you know, I've been thinking a lot about possibly bringing my dog to a daycare facility. But number one, I don't know the difference between daycare versus boarding facility for my pet. And then two, what do dogs actually do at daycare? Is it even worth bringing my dog in? What's your opinion?
So to separate the difference, so you can board, and boarding is usually overnight. There are some facilities that board and they don't provide the daycare option. So that means that your dog is in an enclosure, except to be let out to go walk and take care of business. And then sometimes they have individual one-on-one play times. But in a daycare situation, if you're doing overnight boarding and they offer daycare, that means your dog is in an enclosure overnight by themselves, and then they're put out into a daycare group to play during the day. So they get time to socialize and interact. Now, in a daycare group, ideally what you want to see happening, again, is two people in the group with the dogs, and they're interacting with the dogs. They're actually training. They're playing. They're letting the dogs have some free time, but they're also very much interacting with the dog and teaching them proper socialization behaviors. And usually we now recommend that every daycare gives some downtime in the middle of the day. So I take my dog Java to a daycare facility that never uses enclosures. So traditionally it's called cage free, but basically the dogs are together 24/7. But between the hours of 12 and 3 o'clock every day, the lights get turned down, the classical music comes on, and all the dogs find a place to lay down and they rest between 12 and 3. And during that time frame,
like a little siesta. I like this. This is very European. I like it.
That's right. And during that time frame at the particular facility I board at, they do not allow dogs to be dropped off or picked up during that 12 to 3 time frame because they just want the dogs totally at rest. Well, it's really funny. Once the dogs get used to that routine, they have people that call in and say, how do I get my dog to take a nap like that does at your place? And they start we don't say, okay, it's nap time. We just turn down the lights and turn on the classical music and you get a natural response. The dog naturally says, oh, it's time to rest. And they go and they rest. And so that kind of behavior, allowing the dog to have some time in the group, but where I'm not forced to play or another dog's not going to bother me, that's really good socialization that's happening there. So I would recommend that you ask your doggy daycare, hey, do you provide rest time throughout the day? And how do you do that? How does the dog know that it's time to rest? And so in boarding facilities also, there's a lot of boarding facilities that play music at certain times of the day and evening through the night because the dogs do respond to music. And my favorite, of course, is classical, but jazz, nice, easy jazz, the dogs, they calm down. There's a relaxing thing that happens with them. So ask the daycare or the boarding facility. So your dog should never be bored. They should never be bored. Even in a boarding facility where they're in an enclosure, they should have something to play with. They should have some kind of toy, something to chew on, something to keep them busy. They shouldn't be just sitting there all day with no interaction at all.
Yeah, a lot of people might ask, well, I mean, yes, we, you know, as intelligent human beings find classical music relaxing and jazz relaxing, but I mean, does that necessarily translate to pets? And there's some real science behind that as in terms of the actual BPM or beats per minute of individual songs. It's not just because, you know, intellectually we find classical music to be relaxing, but there really is science behind that. Now, in your mind, when you're thinking about a daycare, and most of us, we know that some dogs can get stressed and that kind of thing, you talked about some really important principles for socialization. When pet parents go to a daycare or a boarding facility, what kinds of questions should they ask to make sure that their pet isn't going to be stressed? Or if they are stressed, are there provisions in place to help them out with that? What kinds of things should they be looking for?
So they should be asking questions like, is your daycare staff trained? Are they trained in dog behavior?
Excellent.
Do they understand dog body language? So okay. You're going to ask those three questions. Are they trained in dog daycare? Have they been trained in dog behavior? And have they been trained in dog body language? Because sometimes people misread body language between dogs.
Right.
So then they're going to ask if they do have a nap time or downtime. How often during the day do they do that? And then if they have a challenge between where the dogs are not getting along, how do they intervene and how do they separate them? So those are all questions. And then if they have an older dog, if we're dealing with a geriatric dog that likes the socialization, but maybe can't go for as long as a younger dog, how do they then separate that geriatric dog from the rest of the group to give it the downtime that it needs?
Beautiful. So,
and we don't want to put puppies in with adult dogs. That we don't want to do that. So we also need different kind. If you've got a puppy, and I'm going to say like 6 months, 18 months, in that time frame, you're going to ask specific questions as it relates to your puppy. Because the puppies, they can get worn out just like adult dogs can, but we don't want to put a puppy with an adult dog. We want to do that differently. So,
and we'll be right back right after these messages.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hello, my name is Tracy Votney. I am the Foster Pet Program Coordinator for Beacon of Hope Crisis Center. We are a crisis support organization assisting victims of domestic violence and sexual assault through a myriad of client services. For many abused victims, pets are a source of comfort, providing strong emotional support. Each year, 68% of abuse victims reported violence towards their animals from the abuser. Because of this and other alarming statistics, 40% of domestic violence victims are unable to escape their abusers because they are concerned about what will happen to their pets when they leave. It is our mission to make every effort to provide a safe and loving foster home for pets while their families heal, and to reunite these pets with their owners when they can be housed in a safe and loving home. You can help Beacon of Hope's foster pet program by making a donation today at beaconofhopeindy.org.
Talk to the Paw.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Pickler. Hi, this is Margaret Cho.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rachel Ray.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails and who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the Tail Wagger.
And welcome back to Dr. Courtney's show. I'm Dr. Courtney Campbell.
You talked about some keys for socialization. We talked about some keys for stress. Now, one component I wanted to hit too was just boredom. At pet parents going out there to a daycare center or a boarding facility, just what kinds of things should they look for to make sure that their pet is not going to be bored?
Right. They should be observing on their first interview. When they first go to look at the doggy daycare, they should be observing interaction between the pets and the caregivers. There should be all kinds of interaction. There should be interaction between the dogs. And it's not unusual to see a group of dogs playing with a caregiver and one dog out for rest time, just laying over in the corner watching. That's okay. The dog needs a timeout and they can just go lay down. It's all right. But they should see that the dogs are not bored. Even if some doggy daycares bring in pools, whether it's indoor or outdoor, they bring in dog pools for the dogs to play in. So they have plenty of activity. They have balls, toys that are safe for the dogs to play with each other and with the humans. So there should not be a bored dog in the group.
That's excellent. I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, you are forgetting 37 million of us out there who are cat parents, and yeah. You just seem to – well, listen, allow me to nerd out for a second, because I remember reading a study in the Journal of American Veterinary Medical Association, JAVMA, and they just did this fascinating study where they took two groups of cats. One group was a healthy cats. The other group was sick cats who had bladder issues and that kind of thing, and they basically kept their routine for taking care of them consistent. They would play with them at the same time, feed them at the same time, keep the lights on, turn the lights off, all at the same time for one group. Yes. And for the other group, they would vary when they would play with them, when they would feed them, when they would turn the lights on and off. And they found something fascinating. Keeping consistency actually made some of the sick cats healthy, and varying the times actually made some of the healthy cats sick. So we in cats put stress at such a high priority when we're talking about how to keep them healthy and how to prevent them from having issues. I put stress at the top of my list, sometimes even higher than dogs. Are there things in your mind that you think about with boarding and kenneling facilities to say, this is a great way to prevent a kitty cat from getting stressed?
Yes. So I do understand this idea that cats like a schedule.
Yes.
And so in a boarding facility, I know a lot of boarding facilities offer cat daycare. And basically what that means is they have an area where they can let the cat go and climb and just be a cat. And it's a safe environment for the cat. And there's usually a human in there during that time. And then they put the cat back in the enclosure. Now, I just interviewed a facility in Arizona, and they have a cat enclosure where each cat gets out of their enclosure into a larger enclosure where they have trees to climb, they have a hammock they can go play in, and if it's, they only have one cat in their whole enclosure area, that cat gets the whole enclosure the whole time. So they get their own like big play gym to play in. But if they have more than one cat in their care, then the cats are rotated into that enclosure. So after each cat plays, the enclosure is clean, the next cat's allowed in, and enclosures and cleaned again, and then the next cat. So they rotate so that every cat has an opportunity for a length of time to play in the play enclosure with the trees and the hammock and all the things to chase around that cats like to do with a human there.
That makes total sense. And one last thing I wanted to talk to you about is something that's been getting a lot of recent attention in recent news. There was a disturbing video of a dog fight that occurred at a kenneling facility, and it basically just shows a video of these two dogs who actually get into an altercation, and it actually takes the staff at least 2 minutes to separate them. And this video received like over 170,000 views in just 3 days. Now, obviously, neither one of us was at that particularly boarding facility, and so we don't know the details surrounding that situation. But just in a general sense, if we have pet parents out there who say, you know, my dog is really not a fan of other doggies, or are worried that if they'll take their dog to a kennel or boarding facility and a fight will break out. Are there things that they should be asking the staff of the kennel facility for instances of aggression?
Yes. So again, we're back to that very first interview when we're looking for the facility that we might use, whether it's for overnight boarding or doggy daycare. We're asking those very important questions. What is the training of the staff? And are they trained well in dog behavior and body language? Because a staff that is trained well in body language and behavior will recognize when the behavior between two dogs is getting to the point where somebody's going to take a bite. So they're always watching and interacting and recognizing those initial aggressive tendencies and being able to get in there before the bite happens. That is the challenge. I would also ask the doggy daycare, how many incidences have they had in the last year to 3 years with bites? And then what was the training afterwards with the staff? Were they able to identify what was missed? And did they follow through with more training for the staff? Unfortunately, Dr. Courtney, we can't prevent every accident that's going to happen. We're eventually going to have a bite when dogs get together.
I hear you.
You know, they personalities, maybe a dog's just having a bad day. And you know what? You just got on my nerves one too many times and it happens quicker than you could blink. So they're very much like humans. And some days you're doing well with your brother and sister. And the next day you're not doing so well with your brother and sister, you know?
That's so true. And I like that idea of just being grounded in reality, trying to prevent every single altercation, every single fight, although it's of premier importance. Sometimes it's just not realistic.
Yeah, it's just sometimes an accident is going to happen. And then the question is, what is the follow-up for the facility doggy daycare with training? What are the lessons learned and what are the follow-ups? And that's what's important. As long as the daycare is always looking to improve, that's a good sign because they care so much about the pets. And it is unfortunate that we are seeing in the news a lot of dog bites. Our goal at International Boarding and Pet Services is to make sure that we continue to provide education so it increases the quality of care for the pets and helps facilities recognize when a mistake happens and how they can overcome that and move forward by better education of their staff.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, Carmen, I got to be honest with you. I feel like we have just scratched the surface, but that surface is replete with awesome information that you gave, and I'm just so excited about this. This is the kind of thing that a lot of people are just wondering. I don't even, you know, I want to bring my pet to a daycare or boarding, and I don't even know what questions to ask, and you gave us a boatload of information and questions to ask. So I really want to thank you. I honestly, to be totally honest with you, I want there to be a part two. Would you ever consider coming back and joining us for some more questions?
Absolutely. Anytime.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Courtney.
All right. Wow. What an exciting conversation I just had with Carmen Restenbeck. Just incredible information she gave. I mean, listen, we have too much information to try and summarize, but honestly, you know, calling and scheduling that appointment without your pet is absolutely ingenious. And then scheduling another appointment with your pet, you know, making sure that there's at least two people requirement, two people minimum, having them categorize and separate dogs by size, of course, making sure that they hold infectious disease as a priority. We're not just talking vaccines here, but we're making sure that everybody's had regular fecal tests as well. But more importantly, you know, like Carmen mentioned, the IBPSA, they actually have certifications. So for everything, whether it be pet sitters, boarding facilities, kenneling, daycare. So go ahead, jump on that website, check it out. We covered a lot of information today. And hopefully, if she's nice, she'll come back and join us. So excellent, everybody. Please join us for the next podcast. Until next time, just keep it light, keep laughing, keep loving. And remember, there's nothing stronger than the human-animal bond.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.